And we'll be going lesson number 3 about truth, and we'll be on page 13. And we'll be in John 17 and 2 Timothy 3. Anybody need a book? Oh, it's because you've been hanging around John too long. Anybody else need a book? Here, I'll give the Livingstons. They don't have one yet. Anybody? We have some bad students that never bring their books back. That's why I give them a hard time. But good job. Good job. All right. Anybody else? I got one left. Just because I'm going to make fun of you doesn't mean you can't raise your hand and tell me. Don't want you not to have a book. Okay. All right. Well, if you have two, bring one back, and we'll keep recycling it and using it for the visitors who come next. All right. We're on page 13. But before we get started in this lesson, does someone have a Bible memory verse to share? Joyce. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Frida. All right. The only time success is in the Bible, but it's a great passage. We'll probably look at it today. Anybody else? Janie. Amen. All right, anybody else? Bible memory? All right, we've got those three ladies, and so I've got chocolates up here for them. And there are Lindors in here now. Lindors, all right? So, I mean, we're talking. No. Bunch of lazy husbands in this class, I'm telling you. All right, so just a goodie for whoever says a memory verse. Yep, thank you. You're welcome. Okay. All right, and if you have a certain kind you want to see in there, let me know. And we'll try to do that. Okay, page 13, God's Word is Truth. We've been talking about truth, speaking the truth, and this whole lesson is about just surrounded on the subject of truth. And of course, you can't have truth without God. And we talked about that last week. You can't omit God and expect to have truth. And obviously then, His Word. Now, there's a lot of question about whether or not you can trust His Word. So, I understand the simplicity of this. In order for Satan to fool people into knowing what is the truth, he has to counterfeit. So, well, guess what he did? He counterfeited the Bible. There are lots of other Bible versions out there today. A complete different family of texts than the correct text source, and he's just the author of confusion. The Bible tells us that, and so you can either believe that God's Word is pure, or you can believe that it's not. But if it's not pure, then what is truth? How do you know what truth is? Where do you find it? It's not on a social media app. You can't trust anybody else's truth because it's man-made. It's artificial. You have to trust the Word of God. And when all else fails, the words will still remain. And we'll see that in some of the passages we read today. Page 13, it says, the existence of absolute truth is inseparable from the person of God. While in prayer, the Lord Jesus prayed in John 17:17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth, talking about his disciples. Sanctify them through thy truth. Set them apart. Keep them set apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What in the world do you believe today? I mean, there's a lot of people. What are we supposed to believe now? There's some kind of monkeypox out there? Now, by the way, in the monkeypox, just remember the K is silent. All right? Anyway, but thy word is truth. You can know the word as being truth. All right? He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Not just the concepts or the ideas or the stories, but every word is important. I'm just fascinated with how we've gotten away from just what does the actual word say, and we're getting into concepts. And I've repeated this several times. I'll probably repeat it in the next hour this week already. But there's a passage, there's a phrase in the Bible that's used over and over again. And it says, with child. Marriage, Matthew chapter 1, was with child of the Holy Ghost. What does that phrase mean, with child? Pregnant. But you know, modern versions have pregnant instead of with child. You know why that's a bad thing? Because if it says with child, it's real hard to kill it. It's real hard to justify killing it if she's with child. But if she's just pregnant, then you can change it to a fetus. Everything in the Bible has meaning. Suffer the little children. Moses suffered you to write a bill of divorcement. But that word suffer is not necessarily allowing. It's a painful thing. It's a tolerance, but not a good thing. And so there's a lot of things in the Bible we've gotten away from. We got away from what the actual words say. And we need to recognize a man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so the Bible says that he is the God of truth. Deuteronomy 32:4 says he is the God of truth. Psalm 31:5 says he is the God of truth. Isaiah 65 says it twice. I'm going to ask Bob to go to Deuteronomy 32:4. I'll ask Ron to go to Psalm 31, verse 5. The rest of us can go to Isaiah 65:16. And if Bob can read Deuteronomy 32:4, Ron read his, we'll just listen to what it says about the God of truth. So, Bob, first, if you can. All right, and Psalm 31:5. Yours doesn't have Psalms. Pages are glued together. God of truth. And then Isaiah 65:16, that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from thine eyes. God is the God of truth. That everything about it, and by the way, Satan is the opposite of that. He is the father of lies, the Bible says. He is a liar and the father of it. Now, sometimes his lies are real close to the truth, but you know, anything close to truth is still a lie. And that's probably the most dangerous lie of all, is the one that looks very close to the truth. All we do should grow out of the truth of our theology. Everything about us, our philosophy, everything we think about, we should recognize that our theology, our belief system from the scriptures teaches us how to stay true and how to stay on track. Every attempt to redefine truth in non-biblical terms will ultimately fail. All truth starts with what is true about God and his word. And unfortunately, and this is very sad, but we have government funded schools who omit God from science and God from history, and we expect young people to grow up and understand truth, and they can't. And so everything is abstract, and everything is based on your opinion of what truth is and what you want and the slant you want. And so it's a lie from the beginning, and we're lying to our children as they're being taught in the government system. And so we need to recognize what's happening to truth. And, of course, Satan's behind all that. By the way, truth doesn't shy away from an examination. Truth's not afraid of an examination. Why can't you just teach evolution and creation side by side in a classroom? I'll tell you why. Because a 5-year-old and a 10-year-old can decide for themselves, good grief, I think I know which one sounds more believable. I think I know which one's right. But so you can't have one side in there because it's so obviously right. And so understand that when people want truth, they've got to go back to the scriptures, the word of God, the basis, the origin of everything. And without it, they'll just be spinning and wandering around aimlessly and never understanding, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, the Bible says. So we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and that's where we're going to be mostly today, is 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. And verse 1, someone quoted this already. This knowing also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And boy, is that the truth. Here we are. And for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Already in verse 3, you see people who lie. False accusing, truce breakers, incontinent, people who can't be trusted, they are not consistent. Traitors, verse 4, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. By the way, reprobate is just resisting the truth. I've said it many times. The main problem with homosexuality is that it's a lie. The whole thing's a lie. You're lying to yourself. You're lying that there is no creator who made you a certain way. And then you got to get everybody around you to lie also and call you something you aren't. The whole thing's a lie. And that's what reprobate is. It's holding back truth and resisting truth because you want to believe lies instead. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that would include just being honest. If you're going to tell the truth, you're going to lose friends. Someone said, being honest won't get you a lot of friends, but it'll get you the right ones. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It'll just happen. If you are good at telling people what they want to hear, you probably won't have any persecution. And you can run for office. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is what, see, they're deceiving people. And they're being deceived themselves. That's the saddest part of all, is to watch these people who are liars realizing that they're working for a liar. They're working for Satan himself. And they are being deceived. Verse 14, but continue thou. And you can draw a line from verse 1 up to verse 14 if you want to skip all those other details, you know, sub-points, because it really is this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, because perilous times are filled with people who are liars and false information and lack of truth. Draw a line from that over to verse 14. But what do we do? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You want to know what truth is? You got to go back to the scriptures. And the word of God and the spirit of God will lead you and guide you into all truth, the Bible says. Verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Psalm 119 is the Bible chapter. 176 verses, I think it is. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Before the Bible was even written down on paper in humanity, it was already in heaven settled. God has not had to come up with new editions of the Bible. Evolution textbooks are always re-editing. God does not have to come up with new editions of the Bible, whereas man has to amend even the best of our documents. But God's word was forever settled in heaven. Verse 152, Psalm 119, 152, it says that it is founded forever. The word of God, the scriptures themselves, are founded forever. There's never going to be a change of Scripture. And so if someone tells you that in the future there's going to be a time where the Bible won't fit, you can tell them, right, whoa, that's not true. There's no future dispensation that does not include the Word of God as it is now. There's no idea, this idea that in the future there's going to be animal sacrifices again in the temple of God. Whoa, Hebrews says, neither by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood. You can't go away from truth into something else in the future. And so let the Word of God be your final authority and your fixed point of reference for everything. How do you measure anything unless you have a fixed point of reference? So how do you know what to judge things by without having a fixed, determined, common denominator of point of reference? So the term Holy Scriptures, the word Scriptures, and when Paul said to Timothy, you've known from a child the Holy Scriptures, you continue in that. And these Scriptures are writings. That's what the word Scripture means. And so when we hold the Bible in our hand, we're holding the holy writings of God. And as it says there in verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Beware of a form of godliness. Just because it's called a Bible doesn't mean it's the right one. Just because it's a version doesn't mean it's the correct one. Beware of the form of godliness. I know that there might even be well-meaning, sincere people out there. But I'm telling you, if they don't have a handle on truth, they're going to sincerely or otherwise lead others astray. Second Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. Says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Understand that Satan is the chameleon of all chameleons, and he can transform himself into anything, and he will even look like an angel of light, and he will even look like Reverend Wonderful. But understand that even if they sound sincere, and maybe they have a sincere desire, if it is not according to truth, it needs to be corrected. And if it can be destroyed by the truth, it should be destroyed by the truth. The Bible is the fixed point of reference in an always changing world. So in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, God's word deals with the subject of perilous times. We're living in perilous times. People are becoming increasingly unhappy because they are moving farther from God and the Bible. Let us determine to live by the clear truth of the Word of God. I just love the fact that God never changes and his word never changes. I love Hebrews chapter 13 that says in verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ is just always the same. We have it in our other hymnal. We have two different hymnals. Our other hymnal has the song, Always the Same. There's so many people that'll let you down. So many systems that'll let you down. So many concepts and plans that will let you down. But Christ, the Word of God, will never let you down. It will always remain the same. It's the constant in an ever-changing world. So we look at page 14 and 3 points today. Inspiration of Scripture. The inspiration of all Scripture. The Bible says in verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not just a lot of it, not just some of it, but all of it. You know, I wrote this in the margin. Our author said this in the little book that I have in. And it says, many say that the Bible is only inspired in spots. And they happen to be the ones inspired to tell us which spots are the right spots. When someone says that to you, well, only parts of the Bible are inspired. Oh, and who gave you the authority to say that? who are you? the Bible's only partly correct, or the Bible's true and inspired in certain sections. No, the Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, we have to understand there is a counterfeiter out there named the devil. There are other versions out there that are false versions and counterfeit. How do you recognize counterfeit? You got to know the truth. Without truth, there is no way to determine counterfeit. You've heard my story about the counterfeit expert. And he was just an absolute expert at detecting counterfeit money. And someone asked him, how do you, you know, do you, you must have like a library of counterfeit bills that you keep in a collection. He said, absolutely not. I just study the real stuff. And then every time I come across the counterfeit, I know it's counterfeit. What a great concept. I don't need to be an expert on all that's false. That'll be an unending exploration. And not only that, it'll be very confusing and frustrating. And that's what happens to scholars, is they start studying all the counterfeit stuff, and then they can't remember what truth is. Now, just keep studying truth. And it was good enough for Grandma. It was good enough for George Washington. It'll work for you and I. Just keep studying truth, and don't let Satan fool you into something else. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means God breathed. The words themselves are God breathed. It's not correct to say the Bible contains the Word of God. And you'll, if you listen close, you'll hear ministers say, this contains the Word of God. Wait a minute, why can't you just say this is the Word of God? And how do you, then who becomes the expert at knowing what parts are the Word of God and what parts are not? The Bible doesn't just contain the Word of God. There are other versions that might contain the Word of God, but we should be able to say this book is the Bible. And there are lots of pastors and ministers and teachers on radio and TV that can't say that. They don't believe it. The Bible doesn't just contain the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. The King James Version in English. The entire Bible, every word of it and all of it is God-breathed. Of course, people who aren't English speakers, they're going to have a different Bible. But if it's from the same source, translated correctly from the correct source, it is also the inspired Word of God. And every word of it, all of it, is God-breathed. God only wrote one book. Every word of it came from the mouth of God. God revealed the words of Scripture to human penmen. And through, though they themselves did not always fully understand what they were writing, they wrote it down anyway. And how wonderful it is to know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I love the fact that there's some stuff in the Bible that it's like there's no way that they understood what they were writing. In fact, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 10, it says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. In other words, in the Old Testament, they couldn't totally understand the sacrifice of a human man on the cross. They just had the inkling that there was a man coming, that he would be called the Lamb of God, and yet they didn't fully comprehend. They were Old Testament. They didn't fully comprehend the whole crucifixion. The crucifixion hadn't been invented when the Old Testament was around, and yet they wrote and prophesied Isaiah saying that he would be like a lamb led to the slaughter, and he was wounded for our transgressions, and yet all they could do is imagine and try to visualize exactly what that meant, of course knowing the lamb representing the atonement. Of course, Isaiah also is the one that wrote in Isaiah 9:6 and Isaiah 7:14 that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. And I often use that as an illustration, because if I was Isaiah, even if I wrote that, I wouldn't tell anybody I wrote that. I mean, virgins don't have babies. And you're just going to get laughed at. But Isaiah wrote that down. And 750 years later, a virgin had a son. It would have been nice if God would have made it happen like a year later so that Isaiah could look good again. No, he died looking like an idiot. Isaiah's the one that wrote a virgin's going to have a baby. You know, maybe they graffitied his tombstone. Ding dong. But 750 years later, they washed it off because it was true. And that just proves to me that it's God's word, not Isaiah's word. It's the word of God, not man's word. It helps me to have the confidence. In Daniel chapter 12, Daniel chapter 12, it says in verse 8 and 9, this is what it says concerning that same idea. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. So even Daniel didn't fully comprehend everything that God had inspired him to write. And that's okay. The beauty of the Bible is it's obviously God's word, not men. There's no way that these men even knew each other. A lot of them never met each other or even lived in the same century as one another. But these 40 different human secretaries were used by the same boss, God, to put together a Bible that fits perfectly, which proves that he is truly the author of the Word of God. So the inspiration of all Scripture, and then secondly, the necessity of all Scripture. And back in 2 Timothy chapter 3, our main passage, and what a great passage it is, 2 Timothy 3 again, and we need to realize the necessity of all Scripture. It says that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Well, that's the number one necessity of all. The Word of God teaches you how to get saved. And verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for Sunday mornings. No, that's not what it says. It's profitable for several different things, and it's going to tell us those things. It's complete. It's a 66-book volume. And each book is necessary to complete the whole. Each book has a specific message that is a part of the big message of the entire book. I was talking to someone the other day about the book of Revelation. The only way you can really have the concept of Revelation or really comprehend Revelation is to get to know those other 65 books really well. I don't recommend going to Revelation if you're a new Christian who's learning. I would recommend learning the basics and the rest of it first. And as you learn the more simple things of the Word of God, then you can add on that precept upon precept. And so most Christians are only familiar with certain parts of the Bible, let's be honest. Most Christians don't know the whole Bible very well. Few read the Bible, the whole Bible, in a year. Few are familiar with all Scripture, but every book of the Bible and every chapter in the Bible is necessary, and it fits together. And I love when I discover something new that's been there all along, but I never saw it before in the Word of God, and how that God put that together for a reason. The word perfect is also the word complete. When we think of perfect, we think like perfection. But a lot of times when you're reading perfect in Scripture, it means complete. And so with that in mind, it's our Lord's desire to complete his children. And not just to have us a balanced approach, but a complete, all right? You can be balanced and still not be complete. And so it needs to be a completion. And so each message from each book is necessary to accomplish this goal. No book should be overlooked, because God gave every book for a purpose. Every book has a purpose. You don't want to get to heaven and have Habakkuk come up to you and say, so what'd you think of what I wrote? Habakkuk. Jude or Obadiah. Leviticus or Ezekiel. Romans. Lamentations. Joel or Judges. Or Kings. Someone just recently said, I have a hard time with the Kings. Judges is a hard one for me because it's so depressing. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And I mean, it's like, and then you start realizing, man, this sounds like my country right now. Everyone's just, and there was no fixed common denominator of truth, and so you just got more weird and more weird going on, and it can be depressing. And then Ezekiel can be very deep, and what does that mean? And of course, Revelation. But all of the Word of God is important, and here's what I'll tell you. Even if I read it and don't get it, I'm still going to read it. Because the more I read it, the more I'll remember, okay, I saw that somewhere. I saw that phrase in there somewhere. And I can go, oh, that's what that is. And I recognize that phrase, and that's why it's so important to read it and just let it sink in and saturate and soak in. And of course, my parents enrolled me in a Bible club, like an anchor club called Awana, and so I was able to memorize. Of course, I was memorizing for a candy bar. I was memorizing for an award to put on my shirt. But I did get it in my head, and then eventually it was in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so as an older Christian, as I grow up, those words start to have meaning. And I'm singing a song and realizing, okay, that song in the hymnal comes out of that whole passage in that Bible right there, and the doctrine that's there. And so read it, even if you don't get it. Read it anyway, and understand that it's good not to spend your whole month of May in the book of Ezekiel. You might want to, balance that out with Proverbs or something else, that, or John, or something that you get maybe more of out of immediately. But all Scripture is necessary. I used to read Proverbs every day when I was a teenager. And even today, even this morning, when I saw a phrase, I knew that's in Proverbs. I got to go to Proverbs. I can find it. And of course, you've got concordances and search engines where you can type in a phrase, and as long as you type the words correctly without misspelling, you can find through a concordance or through a search engine where in the Bible that's at. All right, so Complete. Now notice this in verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished unto all good works. I think truly is better than thoroughly. And if you have thoroughly in there, someone changed that, it should be truly. And I wouldn't, you know, get too wound up at the moment about it, but truly, through and through, and truly furnished unto all good works. A mechanic shop, if it's a well furnished shop, it's got everything in there he needs. It's truly furnished. And a Christian who does not have all scripture down isn't truly furnished. Okay? And so we need to be knowledgeable of scripture from a child. You know, in the Old Testament days, the Hebrew children were expected to memorize the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Memorize it. The law, the books of Moses, the Torah. And so from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And we need to emphasize the importance of Scripture. It is necessary. And so no book should be overlooked, even if they're not your favorite, because God gave every book for a purpose. There's things in Leviticus or Numbers or Ezekiel that it's not exactly what I run and read for my edifying daily devotion. But when I read Revelation, I realize that Leviticus and Ezekiel are tied to that revelation. And I got to know that to understand what's going on in Revelation. We should read and study all scriptures and ask God by his Spirit to teach us the message of each book of the Bible. And that's why we should come to church as often as you can, because Sunday school isn't just for children. It's another opportunity to be exposed to scripture and to have your mind and your thoughts provoked to think about scripture. And then most importantly, the sufficiency of all scripture. If we cater to people's itching ears, and that's what it says in chapter 4, by the way, when you get done with chapter 3, it says, I charge thee, verse 1, chapter 4, and the Lord, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick alive and the dead at his appearing at his kingdom, preach the word. Don't read poems. Don't just show videos. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, their own agendas, their own feelings, their own wants, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. People who want to go where they get it rubbed the right way, that's why there's 18 different churches in this little community, because people want to hear it a certain way. Listen, we need to recognize that truth is going to hurt sometimes. Now, it shouldn't be 100% hurt, but there is a balance of mercy and truth. We all love mercy, but nobody wants truth. You're not going to get mercy without truth. And so you're going to have to recognize the importance of truth if you want mercy. And so the sufficiency of all scripture. The Bible teaches us in Colossians 2, 9, and 10 that Christ is all sufficient. And he's the one that completes us. And I'll read that in just a minute. He is enough. He is everything we need. Christ is all I need is a wonderful song that we sing sometimes. Just a chorus. Let me find Colossians and read it to you. Colossians 2, 9, and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Christ. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And he is the Word. John 1 says that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And he is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so he's all you need if you'll just get to know the Word of God. And the secret of the devil is to get people away from the Word of God into something else. There is no movie, there is no film that substitutes for the Bible. None. There is no other book, that substitute for the Bible. There is no other preacher that substitutes for the Bible. Devotional books can be good, but they have to be Bible-based, and anything other than the Bible words in there are subject to opinion and to question. But the Bible itself is what you have to remember is the final authority, and it's what's all-sufficient. If you start reading Chicken Soup for the Soul instead of the Bible, even if there's a lot of good thoughts or words in there, you're not getting the Bible. You're not getting the inspired Word of God. Just remember that. Think about that and be aware of that. So He's what makes you complete, His Word. The Word. He said again, I want to emphasize this again, Matthew 4:4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. Not just the nice ideas or the thoughts or the concepts or the stories. No, every word. So why do we have a problem? Because most evangelical churches in America do not use the King James Version today. So their Bible says something other than with child. So then you all of a sudden you've got this controversy within the church about whether or not it's a big deal. Because if truth isn't established, then everything else is subject to opinion and everything's abstract. Think about it. This is why you've got maybe some Christian friends or you know people who are Christians and they're sincere, but they are just kind of floundering. They don't have a ground and a pillar and a foundation on truth. They're not aware of what truth. But you and I who own one and go to a church that teaches from it, we're not any better if we're not going to read it every day and study it. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God to make you wise to salvation, to be profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that you can be truly furnished and perfect and complete. You know, the Bible has child-rearing advice and child-rearing commands and child-rearing teaching in there. You read Proverbs, you're gonna read about issues about the family and children. You're going to read how to discipline them correctly. You're going to read about finances. You're going to read about directions. How do I find the right direction in my life? Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, you buy a car, but you never pull out the manual. And let's be honest. We buy stuff. We kind of know the basics. I rent a car. And usually when I rent a car, I just want to know how to drive the thing. But they're always using new cars, and they got these dumb bells and whistles, and I have no idea why the thing's dinging at me, and I have no idea why this is flashing. I have no idea why my seat's vibrating, and everything's... I have no idea why it sounds like it's going to explode in 3 minutes if I don't do something. It's because I didn't stop to be familiar with what I'm operating. Everybody wants a quick fix. Give it to me now. I want you to fix my family now. It ain't going to happen. You got to read the Word of God and know it and then build upon what it says. There is no quick fix to anything. There's no quick answer. The Word's been around a long time. If you neglected it from a child, then you've got some catching up to do. And thankfully, I had parents that were taking me to church at an early age, and so I had a head start, and it's a shame to me that I don't know it even better than I know it. But the Word of God is all sufficient, and so He is enough. He's everything. However, we should not say that we believe in the all-sufficient Savior without saying we also believe in the all-sufficient Scriptures. Even your Christian friends that go to other churches would never say, "Well, Jesus is not enough." They know that. I mean, they know that Jesus is enough. Most of them do anyway. Some are starting to doubt that. Well, then ask them, well, if He's called the Word, then shouldn't we have an all-sufficient Word? Shouldn't we have an all-sufficient Bible? Because most Christians today aren't reading the Bible. Oh, by the way, 10 years ago or so, when 1611 had the 400th anniversary, 2011, USA Today did a study of people who read the Bibles every day. And they found the large percentage of the people who still read the Bible every day are reading the old King James. That was interesting to me. First of all, USA Today is not exactly a conservative Christian newspaper. Secondly, if you're going to be serious about it, you might as well get the right one. And so I thought that was interesting. Did you know when the new King James came out, and Thomas Nelson was pushing it and promoting it. They had a meeting with a lot of religious leaders, and they said, look, we think there's errors and problems with the King James, but your old congregation will never let go of it unless you will endorse it and talk about the new, improved New King James or whatever modern version. By the way, they're all copyrighted for a reason, because money is the base of most everything that's evil. Love of money is the root of all evil. But understand that when we get to heaven and stand before God, if you try to complain and say, well, I just had this going on and I couldn't figure it out, he's going to say, he's going to say, it was in there. If it was really important for life and life issues, I promise you, it was in there. And we need to recognize that and believe that and understand that. A lot of people don't believe it because their version is it isn't in there. It's been watered down. But notice again, God's word says, makes wise into salvation, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. They are sufficient to meet every need. Let's determine to know God's word and to observe to do according to all that is written therein. That's the verse that Sherita quoted in John 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Do we meditate in the scriptures, or do we meditate in what our phone is saying? We're meditating on other things, but it says you meditate day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. It's the only time success is in the Bible. And it has to do with knowing and meditating and understanding and doing the word of God. So thy word is truth. There's nobody to blame but ourselves. We are free. We're so free and wealthy that we have multiple copies of the Bible. I asked somebody earlier this week that thinks we need to update the King James. I asked them, has every other country and ethnicity on planet Earth, do they have a copy of the Word of God? Then until they do, let's not even talk about trying to update the King James English. That's silly. Why do we need another English version when there are people who don't even have one correct version yet? Shame on us for having Bibles plural when there are people who don't have a Bible singular. And we're not reading the one we have. Our attitude towards God's word is our attitude toward God. Think about that. Our attitude toward his word is really our attitude towards him. Reminds me of what I said Wednesday night. They feared the Lord and served other gods. Everything we need to complete our lives is given to us in Scripture. I know the Bible doesn't talk about diesel mechanics or heat pumps. But the truth is, I don't really need to know that in order to have a good life. But everything that I really need to know to be a successful human being is in the Word of God. And it's just a matter of us digging it and finding it and learning it. Let's pray. Lord,